Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Social month. Loving social month. Very interesting month. And we have a Mind Valley member and the member of the month for this month on the line, Zenis Chin. How you doing, Zen?
Hi, Jordan. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this and talk about your social life journey. For the audience, can you please tell a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Of course, and thank you for making the time. So my name is Zenis. I am a marketing manager at Mindvalley. Super grateful for that. And on the side, I'm also the host of the Champions of Impact show. And so I'm on a mission to really inspire the world with change makers that are more kind, generous, and authentic.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So the Champions of Impact show, it's really about showcasing the stories of people who are not only champions in what they do, but also they're champions for other people. Because the definition of champions, number one is, you know, the winner, number one. We all know this, right? But the less known definition or less acknowledged definition are the people who are cheering for others. And I feel like, you know, if we think about the world, right, we're all connected, and this might be connected with the social category. You know, I feel like we have entered an age where we're no longer just about self-achievement. It's really about co-elevation. How can I help you achieve your vision faster and better so that I can actually achieve my vision faster and better as well? So we are a team, right? And, you know, team is actually an acronym. It means together, everyone achieves more. And, you know, right? And so together, I do feel that we can do so much more as a human race.
Well, it's really great, man. Sounds like you've got a lot going on. You got a lot on your plate. Sounds like you got a lot handled. Let's talk about the social category. Talk about your own journey.
Absolutely.
Talk about your maybe your biggest struggles and successes along the way. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So I wasn't always like this. You know, I was a pretty shy kid back then. I can still remember, you know, back in middle school when I was bullied really hard, you know, just people like picking on me. And you know, I was a scrawny, skinny kid with these like round glasses that absolutely did not fit my face at all.
Oh, no.
And so the teachers were very kind to me, but my peers weren't as, unfortunately, as kind. I think one of the worst memories I had was actually seeing a pair of scissors flying through my, like right in front of my face. And it was someone who threw a pair of scissors at me. And I'm really grateful it didn't hit me in the head, because that would have been quite traumatic. But eventually, you know, I realized that it was because I didn't stand up for myself. I didn't stand up for my values. And I kind of allowed that to happen to myself. So the moment when I started owning, you know, my principles, my values, my worth, and I started becoming more confident with myself. I started showing myself to others, my true self. And, you know, the ones who resonated with me started, you know, creating a friendship with me, and it gave me more confidence to move on. And eventually I realized that, you know, as I showed the world who I was and who I am today, people resonate with that, and the right people will come into my life and create these strong friendships. And you know, I'm very grateful that the friends I have today are the friends who are serving me, who are encouraging me, who are inspiring me to take further steps to fulfill my vision and my mission. And so, you know, like that journey of going from someone who's really shy to someone who is now today, I'm really grateful to say, I'm pretty good at making friends. I'm really grateful that I have a lot of opportunities to give back to my friends. That journey in and of itself has been, you know, very transformational and very encouraging, you know. So whenever I see someone who is really shy today, I would say to them, hey, you know, you're not fixated with this identity. You don't need to be shy if you don't want to. There is an option. And another struggle I had, Jordan, was when I didn't want to let go of friendships that were holding me back. They were holding me back from my growth. They were holding me back from fulfilling my vision, right?
And now, did you have guilt around that? Was it held back by guilt, or was it a fear that you wouldn't make better friends? What was it?
Definitely guilt, Jordan. So, you know, it was guilt. It was the fear of feeling that I'm judgmental, right? Because like it was this feeling of, oh, I don't want to be judgmental. You know, everyone is my friend, and everyone, you know, is equally awesome. And I think that's true. I think everyone is awesome. However, you know, there are some who serves me and propels me to live a more fulfilling life. And unfortunately, there are ones who just hold me back. You know, they would, they would drain me. They won't be as encouraging.
Yes.
You know, and you notice, I noticed, right, over time when I had more awareness that they were just not having the same values as myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was time to let go, but I kind of procrastinated. You know, I didn't want that to happen until I realized, wow, like every time I spend time with this particular person, I feel drained. Like I feel like my energy just went away, and mm-hmm. I had to do something about that. And so it was like a moment of self-love where I had to acknowledge that it probably would serve both of us to move on. And there's this beautiful story that I'd like to share quickly. And my friend, my friend shared this with me, a friend that serves me. So she was traveling at the time, and, you know, she was traveling Europe, and on the plane, she met a friend, right? And at the time they were just strangers, and they became friends because they really enjoyed each other's company and they were going to the same places. So they decided, hey, why don't we tour Europe together? Why don't we travel to these places together? So they got off the plane, they just start making plans, right? They start going to Germany together, and then to Holland, and different countries, traveling as a pair, right? And over time developing a really strong friendship and a companionship. And then about a month and a half later, they realized, oh, wait, like, I need to go to this place while you need to go to another country. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. let's part ways with respect and love, and let's just say off farewells, right? Because we're going to different paths. Mm-hmm. And they did, right? And so in a way, that's kind of how I see life now with friendships and with the social category, is that, you know, you have people who are going on this journey with you in the same direction. And then when they don't, it's actually serving to both parties to part ways. And of course, you part ways with love and respect and best wishes, right? But you won't need to drag on and sort of like drain each other's energy, right? Yes. So that story inspired me to understand that, hey, it's not sad. It's actually beautiful that, you know, I got to share all these memories and experiences with my old friends, but that we no longer are going in the same direction. So why not, let's just say farewell and bon voyage, right?
I like that a lot.
And I still wish the best for them. It's just that we're not going in the same direction anymore. So that taught me a really valuable lesson about friendships. And, you know, I'm really grateful for having that. It also released a lot of pressure for myself. To feel bad when I need to let go of a friendship, or even the reverse, Jordan, when someone, you know, it's like, hey, if you don't like gaming anymore, then I don't want to hang out with you as much. And
right.
I can face that with gratitude and sort of like just that feeling of bliss, thinking that you're right. I do want to spend more time on, let's say, reading books or growing myself, and, you know, gaming is fun, but I don't want to spend as much time anymore. So maybe you should find someone else to talk about this, right?
I guess it's about the relationships having their place, right? And I think people can struggle with that on all sorts of levels. For instance, myself, I'm super grateful that I get to meet and speak with all these different people, and I make lots and lots of friends. But I find myself having intense emotions when the friendships are over because of logistical problems. Like, for instance, make a friend on vacation and now they're gone. And you know, you should be focusing on the good times and focus on the memories and stuff. But I often find myself going, oh, like I almost not regretful, but you just have negative emotions. I wish I could go back there. I miss that. Right. But just being able to have a compartment for each relationship, that relationship was what it was for the time, and you can enjoy mm-hmm. it as it was, and then be able to move on from it when it's time to move on for whatever, you know, any number of reasons. I think that's a good life skill to have, the ability to compartmentalize relationships and kind of put them where they need to go. Am I making any sense there?
100%. I 100% agree, Jordan. Although I would like to add, in regards to logistical challenges, right? Like, I also have a lot of friends around the world, and I have been testing out this method that, you know, allows me to nurture those friendships in my best of my capabilities. So, you know, if you're curious, I can share that right now.
Absolutely, please.
All right. So, you know, one thing I realized that is critical to quality friendships is your presence. So right now, as I'm talking to you, Jordan, nothing in this world matters to me. I mean, literally, there are only a few things, unless my family has an emergency or my girlfriend really, really, really needs me again out of emergency, I'm with you 110%. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for me, that allows me to really savor the memories and the experiences and also remember the important things, right? Like how I already knew some things about you now, Jordan, even though we just started speaking, connecting. And with that, what I tend to do is I tend to personalize messages and sometimes even videos to my friends abroad, because I realize that what I want them to know is that I'm thinking of them, right? There's this quote that I love, and it says, "People don't care what you have to say until they know that you care." And what I realize is that I want to let them know that I care. And so whenever there's a birthday, right, I don't go on Facebook and type happy birthday. You know, it's just such an easy thing to do now. What I do is I record myself in a video saying happy birthday to them. And, you know, sometimes I would even sing happy birthday. I might not be the best singer, but what I want to show them is I'm putting in the time to embarrass myself. And I'm kidding. But to show them that I care, right? And then maybe a personalized blessing to their birthday. And so far, every single time I sent out these birthday messages, I get nothing but incredible responses from my friends, right? Mm-hmm. And other times it's like just sending them resources, sending them, things that I think they could benefit from. If I see an event in Germany and I thought to myself, whoa, Alex would love to be in this event and he's in Berlin right now, I'll say, yo, Alex, check this out. It's in Berlin. It's totally up your alley, right? And they would often be very grateful for that. And totally. I realized that obviously, Jordan, it would not be the same as being in person. However, it allows me to continue that friendship to a certain capacity so that the moment we meet again, we're like buddies again. Can I share a success out of this method that I've been doing?
100%, please.
Awesome. So you know, one thing I'm really proud of is that recently, and grateful, obviously, recently, you know, I asked a very busy entrepreneurial friend of mine to come on my show. And his response to me was a voice message on WhatsApp. And he said, basically, you know, he's at this event we have called MindValleyU, Mindvalley University, which I highly recommend. And he said, Zen, 5 people in Mindvalley University reached out to me to ask me to be on their show. And I told them that I'm just not in that phase of my life right now. And I don't feel like it. And truthfully, he didn't, right? But then he said, when I received your message, I felt nothing but excitement and enthusiasm. Oh, I really want to be on your show. And I can't wait to make that happen with you, brother. And that warmed my heart so much. Like, I thought to myself, I'm so grateful for this friendship. And I truly believe that it's because I continue to nurture my friendship with this person.
So what do you attribute that to? You've kept in touch with these people and you don't seem to settle for like just the traditional baseline method of communication. You try to put a little something personal, a little something extra into every message that you send, every wish, well wish that you send to people.
I do. Because Jordan, I believe that, you know, we value time more than most things, right? People often say time is money. I strongly disagree because you cannot buy time. So when I do these personalized messages, what I'm communicating to my friends is that I'm willing to invest one of the most valuable things I have in life, my time, to give them something. And I think maybe subconsciously that communicates something to my friends, saying that they matter to me.
I love that.
And so one of my principles, Jordan, is to always, and you know, if you're listening and you agree, I highly recommend you do this, is to make time to appreciate and celebrate your friends and your family. because, you know, we all on this earth, we all want to feel seen and feel heard by who we are, for who we are and for what we do, right? And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in the fast pace of everyday life that we don't really make time to truly appreciate someone. Mm-hmm. I still remember the time when I was in a restaurant and, you know, I think I was in Estonia and, you know, a waiter came and he was a really good waiter. So, you know, he really gave me a good experience. So, you know, when he finished serving me, I said, thank you. And I realized that he wasn't even receiving it. You know, he wasn't looking at me. He didn't really acknowledge it. He kind of said, oh, you're welcome. But I could feel that he wasn't receiving it. So I looked him in the eyes again as soon as I had the chance and I said, thank you. And I realized that I reached him and he was grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in life, a lot of the times, you know, Harvard had a study, right, Jordan? The study said that, you know, quality human connections is one of the biggest indicators to fulfillment and happiness in life.
Right. Above IQ, above all these other, you know, determining factors. I heard that as well.
100%. And yet so many of us are neglecting this category. So what I do is, you know, I often make time to make them feel seen for who they are, to celebrate even the relatively smallest things. And I say relatively because who decides that this accomplishment you just made or this win you just had is small? Who decides that?
Right. It is all relative. No matter how big you think your accomplishment is, no matter how small you think your accomplishment is, there's always someone on the planet or in history who has a bigger or a smaller one. It is all relative. I like that.
100%, Jordan. And so, you know, another example I have on this is, you know, one time my friend and I, we were sort of reflecting 2018 and she was in a phase of transition, right? She was going through a lot of challenges in terms of her career and she was a bit stressed out, to be honest. So I proposed an exercise. I said, you know, hey, let's do something fun. Let's recount your 2018 and let's celebrate every single win you have, no matter how big or small it is. And so we went through her entire 2018, right? She started saying, oh, I traveled to 16 countries. And I was like, whoa, that's more than me, right? I did this, I did that, I did this health goal, right? I accomplished that I've always wanted to do. And by the end of that, I think that took like a good 40 minutes, but it was worth it. By the end of those 40 minutes, right, it was phenomenal. We were both in such a state of bliss and celebration and gratitude. Wow. And it's honestly one of the most beautiful memories I have with this friend. And I'm grateful that we got to create that, right? And so always make time to appreciate and celebrate your friends and your family.
I love that. Celebrating success is not just being there for support, which is a very important thing, but also bringing the positivity. I like that a lot.
100%.
Let's talk about Lifebook. Let's talk about your Lifebook experience, your first one. And if you had to choose, mm-hmm. you know, I ask everybody this and it's a very hard question to answer, but if you had to choose your biggest breakaway from the first time you went through Lifebook, I'd love to hear about it.
Wow. Oh, right. I'm excited for this. Okay.
I like you, man.
So I like you too, Jordan. So, okay. Lifebook. Wow. Okay. So it was like a breath of fresh air. So see, Jordan, we are now in an age of information overload. Mm-hmm. Anything I can find in regards to knowledge, I can go on Google, I can type in a search query, and I'll find like 10, 20 resources that I can read and I can spend like hours on it, right? But what people need nowadays is a system, right? They need systems and step-by-step frameworks that they can implement into their lives mm-hmm. and see results, right? And so I feel like Lifebook is that for me, right? Lifebook is this proven, condensed, digested, not that, just distilled version of these principles and practices that John and Missy and everyone in his family, I'm sure yourself as well, have used and created this life for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, when I first used Lifebook, honestly, when I went into the Lifebook experience, I was having an open mind and I didn't really know what to expect. What turned out to be an incredible weekend, an intense weekend. And what came out from that was that I realized I needed to create space for myself. I needed to create time for myself to really sit down and envision my future, mm-hmm. to really design my life and design it in a way that is truly fulfilling for me, that aligns with my values, it aligns with my principles and my mission.
Did you find you were serving others a little too much before your Lifebook experience?
Wow, are you a mind reader? 100%. I realized that, you know, I still have a bit of that people-pleasing self in myself. And, you know, I really try to please people. And to be honest, the challenge I had of letting go of friendships that were holding me back, it was identified throughout my Lifebook experience when I was writing down and I realized, oh my God, I'm putting so much energy into these friendships that don't even serve me anymore. They don't give energy back.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And so I was writing it down and I'll be honest, Jordan, I'm not much of a writer. I never have been, and I'm not yet, I would say. And so to sit down and just start writing on my Lifebook, that was a big leap of faith from my end. And I realized that, you know, it was every minute of it was worth it, you know? And I started writing, I started dreaming big, and I started even identifying and becoming aware of my blogs, you know? I realized, why didn't I want to write that down? That thought just came into my mind. Why didn't I want to write that down? And I realized, oh, wow, here's resistance to greatness.
Totally.
And so I encourage myself to write those things down, right? Like, for example, I want to have friendships that I can truly depend on in my lowest moments when I'm struggling. I want to have friends that I can call up and, you know, in the middle of the night and say, hey, I need your advice on something. I want to have friends that would remember me halfway across the world as much as I remember them. And that did happen, by the way, like again, at Mind Valley University, some friends started texting me because I didn't go this year. They texted me saying, yo, it's just not the same without me.
Where are you at, man? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, wow. When I told them I wasn't going this year to Pula, oh, a bunch of them were like, why not? Why aren't you coming? You know, and I guess in a way, it kind of felt like, oh, I was important. But truly, it felt just so heartwarming knowing that it meant something to my friends that I wasn't there.
Totally.
I promised them that I will be seeing them this year, some way, in some form. So, you know, it with Lifebook, then I started realizing, wow, like, you know, there's this whole process to creating a life, right? There's the first step, which is the premise, right? And then you create this vision and then you go into the why. Why do you even want this vision? And then you go into strategy. So for me, Lifebook is this all-encompassing system, right? That covers every single step I need to really create that life that serves me, that fulfills me. And so one of my biggest takeaways is that, you know, like a fulfilling life does not happen by chance. It doesn't just happen magically or pieces don't just fall together. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to consistently create and design. And it's something that you have to listen, as in listen to yourself, listen to what's important to you, right? So there's this aspect of intuition to it too. As I'm designing and writing my Lifebook, I realized that I need to tune into myself and listen to what's important to me and acknowledge what's not. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have time for everything. If I focus on everything, then I focus on nothing, right? And so Lifebook condenses pretty much life into like 13 categories if you count the extra category.
Yeah, if you're in the know with category 13, then yes, yeah, definitely 13.
Yeah, guys, if you're listening and you're curious about what category 13 is, then just stay in touch and, you know, listen to updates from Lifebook.
That's right.
But yeah, for me, it has been a transformational moment. And obviously, it also allowed myself, Jordan, to identify a lot of the gaps I had in my life, right? Mm. Like, oh, wow, so this is the vision I want, but these are the actions I'm taking and they don't lead me there. And I have to acknowledge it. I have to say, wow, okay, I'm not doing enough in this particular category. And what am I going to do about this then? Like, what are you going to do about this? Are you going to keep doing what you've done before and expect a different result, well, that's the definition of insanity, right? That's the definition. You keep doing the same things, expecting different results. Or are you going to step up, right? And right. So that gave me a lot of, honestly, a lot of awareness, a lot of excitement, actually, a lot of hope as well.
Yeah, and it is really fascinating. Where did your social category land on that scale when you first went through? What was the big impact on your social life? Were you doing good? Were you critical? Did you just need a little work? What did that look like?
That's a great question. At the time, I was doing pretty well with my social category. I honestly don't remember the actual score, but it was in a good category. But obviously, social is really important to me. Connection is one of my highest values. And so I realized, well, good is not great. So what can I do to get it there, right? And
100%. So,
I think the life book system allowed me to identify how to become great, right? And so, you know, good to great is actually much harder than bad to good.
That's a really good point.
Right? And so life book gave me that space to create that for myself. And even right now, I'm consistently reviewing it. I'm consistently, you know, innovating my practices. And, you know, I think consistency is key too, right? Like, you know, I'm consistently checking if I'm consistent in my actions.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's the integrity. Yeah. Integrity. There's really, Lifebook shines a lot of light on integrity. Like you said, when you really map out your end goals and what you're doing, if that's not in line, you can see that. So yeah, but I liked 100%. What you said from going good to great. And I feel like the social category is especially a category where we can settle for good. My relationships are good. My friendships are good, but it's probably not a good idea if you are of the Lifebook mentality of wanting to live an extraordinary life.
100%. Oh, and can I add another like insight I had from Lifebook?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. So another thing is, you know, conventionally when people talk about success, right, Jordan? First thing they think about is, how much money do you have? Are you some kind of successful entrepreneur?
Right.
Is your career thriving? And I realized that Lifebook gave me that sort of affirmation that success in life is way more than how well you're doing in your career.
100%. Right?
You might have a billion-dollar company, sure. But if your relationships are terrible, if your health is so critical that you are like consistently on medication, and you know, if you don't have friends that you can count on and everyone is just with you because you had money, well, I'm sorry, your life is not that successful after all.
Right.
And Lifebook made me understand that on a much deeper level.
I love that, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about supporting categories. I like to talk about what supports each category for each member of the month. How do you support your social category?
Oh, that's such a good question. So my answer is actually, it might be unconventional. You know, for me, it's actually the emotions category.
Ooh, interesting.
Right? Yeah, I find it interesting too when I wrote it out.
Well, let's see. Let me try to take a crack at this.
Okay.
The ultimate goal of a connection, if you value connection, as you said, it was one of your highest values. I guess the deepest part of us in today's society, the part that we hide the most, the part that really does mean full openness and vulnerability would be our emotional lives. It's easy to talk about, you know, health and fitness and sports, but the part that most people don't want to go to is the emotional part. So therefore, if you have friendships that really dig into those parts, that means that they must be very evolved and deep. Am I onto something?
You're absolutely onto something, Jordan. Absolutely. So you know, everything you said is true. And allow me to expand on that. So, you know, nowadays I realize that a lot of people actually feel alone, right? I talked to a few people and even though they seem like they had great social circles, they feel lonely. And, you know, I recently read an article, and I think Vishen shared this as well, you know, like the loneliness index in the Western world has increased by hundreds of percents, right? I think above 300%. And loneliness is actually an epidemic now because scientists have proven that the effects of loneliness on the human body is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
A day.
I believe that.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And so it's insane. And what I realize is that people feel lonely, not because they're not surrounded by people, but because they're not showing up as who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. How can you belong to a tribe when you never really showed the tribe who you are?
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem becomes you could be surrounded by these people who are calling you friends, but deep down, if you're wearing a mask, deep down, you would never feel accepted. You would never feel like you have friends because your friends don't know who you are.
Mm, that's a really good
point.
And so
for me, what I realized is that if you want to belong to a tribe, if you want to belong to a group of friends, you got to first belong to yourself. And so the emotions category is the biggest supporting factor for me because I realized that I need to first love myself for who I am. I need to first love what I stand for and be okay with showing that. And I realized that when I started doing that, the right friends come into my life. And again, some of my old friends would then say goodbye, and that's totally fine. It's actually, you know, it wasn't easy. I got to be honest, Jordan, it wasn't easy. But at least I realized, well, if you don't like me for who I am, and by the way, who you are is always evolving, right? Like you got to understand, like, you're not a fixed entity. We are not fixed beings, right? We're always growing, evolving. And so when I say who you are, I don't mean like what you like as a movie or, you know, like where you like to go eat. I'm talking about your values and your principles because most likely those won't shift as much, right? Your values won't shift as much unless there's something drastic happening to you.
Right.
And so when I realized I started showing up as myself and the right friends come into my life, it became a positive feedback loop, right? I realized, whoa, I feel great. Let's do this more. And when I do that more, I realized my emotional life was the supporting pillar. When I had better emotional wellness and awareness, and you know of who I am, and I'm more accepting of my emotions.
Wow.
I'm more vulnerable with who I am, and I don't seek people's approval as much because I start loving myself more. And so friends I have are friends that I need, that inspire me. And of course, I do my best to give back to them as well, to hopefully inspire them as much as I can and give back as much as I can.
That's really, really cool, man. And I've given a lot of thought to this self-love concept and even kind of come down on it as the most important thing. The more I do the Lifebook podcast, trying to distill what the most important thing in life is, and before kindness, before compassion, before discipline, before any of that, what I really came down to is you have to love yourself on some sort of level to achieve anything. But you're really shedding light on another piece of that, which is in order to love yourself and for anyone to love you, you have to see yourself as who you really are and then have the courage to show up in the world as that person, which I would say is harder for some than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I totally empathize with that, Jordan, because it wasn't easy for me in the past as well, right? Because I used to be a very shy kid. But, you know, I want to add on to that. What I realized is that, you know, you made a really good point. The way I see it is the quality of your relationships with others are often a reflection of the quality of relationship you have with yourself.
Oh, I love that. It's so true. Yeah.
Because sooner or later, the way you treat yourself is going to seep into the way you treat others. So you gotta. And I mean, it doesn't mean that if you don't love yourself, you're a mean person. But it, again, it's a process, right?
Definitely.
It's an ever-going process.
Yes.
And so start by doing 1% a day. You know, love yourself 1% more a day, and before you know it, by the end of the year, you have this like compound effect going on. You know, and it's gonna improve. All your relationships, including your relationship with yourself. Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at your picture right now, Zen. You look like a young guy. Do you find that younger people? I was just having a conversation with someone who I'm really close with, and he was giving me he was asking me for life advice, and he was dumping all these details on me, and I did my best to help him out. And then he was like, yeah, like, sorry, man, sorry to dump all this on you. He ended up apologizing at the end of the thread. And I was like, man, don't apologize for talking about like heavy stuff. This isn't a burden. This is, first of all, this is what I do for a living. So you came to the right place, but then also that's what you're supposed to do as friends, right? Like, I think that there's a weird stigma among young people that, and I don't think it's universal, but I think that it's somehow uncool or weak or bothersome or something negative to admit to yourself that we do need to do this kind of life growth, admit to yourself that you do need help in a lot of scenarios. Do you feel that young people are kind of, it's kind of like the Instagram generation, like show your best self, like, oh, post the good pictures. I think it's a bit of that mentality where people don't want to really be super vulnerable. Or would you rather say that people have always had this problem and this is just kind of a more modern manifestation of people struggling to be open with their emotions?
That is such a good question. So first of all, I have to acknowledge that I can't tell you whether this has always been a problem, because I've only been on this earth for a very limited amount of time. In regards to young people, I think that technology has a role in this. I do think that people are resistant to vulnerability, which is why it stands out when you're vulnerable. Think about it. When I listen to a podcaster, or when I listen to a show, right, or when I listen to someone sharing their story, it's inspiring, right? When you see someone on stage and they're sharing something really vulnerable about themselves, it's really inspiring, and it gives us permission to be vulnerable ourselves.
Right.
And I think a potential reason of why this is so inspiring now is because people actually want it, but most people are afraid of doing it.
That's
which is
a great
ironic
point.
Because,
you're right.
Right? Because I mean, there's a reason why you want something. You think you don't have it. Now, I emphasize on you think, but you think you don't have it. And so when you see someone doing it, you think to yourself, wow, I wish I can be like that. And you can. I mean, all you need is to give yourself permission. And when you are vulnerable, you would start noticing that, okay, here's the thing. I also have to be honest, right? There are different stages of consciousness, right? If we dive into a bit of like Ken Wilber's work, right? There is the stages of consciousness, and there's egocentric, there's ethnocentric, there's world-centric, and cosmocentric. And, in a nutshell, basically means egocentric is all about the self, right? Ethnocentric is when you have your own tribe. It's all about the group, or a country would be a great example. And world-centric obviously is you think about the entire world. You think about every single conscious being on this planet. Mm-hmm. Dalai Lama would be a great example of this, right? He's definitely a more world-centric person. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you show your vulnerability and someone judges you for that, then maybe they're not ready for you. And those who are would cheer for you and say, wow, thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. I love you even more. And I wouldn't say it's an easy process. Obviously, when someone judge you for being vulnerable, it hurts. I've been there. It hurts. But would you prefer to live with a mask on, or would you prefer to show yourself and get the people that truly love you for who you are in life? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I do believe that it's an issue. I do believe that, you know, with social media, especially with social media, people are more, I would say, programmed to always look good, to
wear that mask as much as possible.
Exactly. Because I don't mean to cut you off, but people get validated sometimes when you do that, you know, and that validation is, unfortunately, it's an illusion of love. I'll put it that way. You know, if you think about it from a business perspective, that's cool. You know, you have a message, you want to spread it. The more people engage with you, that's a good thing. But when you attach your worth to those likes, it's an illusion, man.
Yeah.
These people don't even know you. And that's why I remember, he wasn't a close friend of mine, but, you know, he's an acquaintance, and, you know, he's a social media influencer. And, you know, I got to say, he was not happy. He was not happy because despite all the likes he had, I think he knew that they don't know him. Mm-hmm. And and it can be depressing. It can be really stressful. And for someone who doesn't have, I'm not saying my friend, by the way, or my acquaintance, but let's say hypothetically, for someone who doesn't have the awareness to know what's happening, they would also get really confused.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would think, well, I'm getting all these likes. Why am I not happy? And the dangerous path is the path that will lead them to think, is there something wrong with me? Or
right.
is there no happiness in life? And I'm sharing this because I've been there. Like I haven't really shared this like publicly before, Jordan, but I feel safe with you. That I know the effects of wearing a mask, because 7 years ago, I almost ended this life because I was wearing a mask. So much so that I felt so lonely, so disconnected with everyone around me. And I had to I practically lied to my parents, because every time they asked me, because I was abroad, right? I was away. And every time they asked me, hey, is everything okay? I said, everything is fine. Don't worry about me.
Mm.
But deep inside, I was like, I was becoming a zombie more and more. Yeah. And it's all because I tried to fit in to a group that I really didn't belong. And so I've been there. I know how it feels.
Probably has very, very drastic impacts, and probably not something that a young person could really wrap their head around. I could imagine you kind of getting yourself in that situation where you're constantly lying to yourself, constantly lying to your loved ones for no good reason, thinking you're somehow being strong or saving them from this or that, right? But in reality, that does real detriment to your soul.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, again, with the self-love thing, right? For a period of time after that, I mean, obviously, I acknowledge that it was a really selfish thought, but I was in a state where I was just very, very low, right? And I created sort of an environment that I had no one to talk to. I had no one to bounce with, right? And so back to the example with your friend, I think it's really wonderful that you're there for him. And for me at the time, 7 years ago, I didn't have that. And so, it was like a downward spiral,
right?
Of in my head. But the reason I brought this up is because, you know, I realized that I was ashamed of that for a couple of years after that, thinking that, you know, how could I even think of this? Like, how could I even, want to do something like that?
Beating
that
yourself up about it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Beating yourself up. It's so funny, because I realized one thing. The moment you compromise your values, right, you already got the punishment you need, because the pain that comes with, compromising your values.
Lack of integrity. Yes, that's a good point.
Exactly. The lack of integrity is already painful enough. There's no point in beating yourself up. It does not serve yourself. It does not serve your family and your friends. No one. It serves no one, right? If you want punishment, you got it. The moment you compromise your integrity, you got the punishment.
Wow.
You don't need
that.
To go further. And so I obviously it took me some time to reach that conclusion. But you know, when I started accepting myself and loving myself and accepting that was just part of my journey, and it's part of the story of Zenist, right?
Mm-hmm.
I freed myself from that, and I realized when I did that, more people come into my life, and they're the right people. They're my friends, because I forgave myself.
Love it, man. Beautiful, beautiful story, Zen. Thank you so much for sharing that and for coming on the show. Before we wrap it up, I got one more question for you. If you could maybe, share some good advice, some good tips, some good strategies for the Lifebook members, just how we can show up in the world better as a more effective and loving friend or family member.
Okay. That's a good question. I would say number one is, so can I share four?
Man, please go ahead. I love
it. All right. Number one is to always think how you can be an energy charger instead of an energy drainer.
I love that.
Thank you. Instead of thinking tick, 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 how can I tick? Think about how can you provide value, because, you know, I truly believe that I'm just thinking of Lion King right now, because like Lion King is playing, but the circle of life, right? when you give, it comes back to you, but don't expect it to come back to you though. Focus on how you could help them. And, you know, one question I often get from people is, but Zen, how do I know what they need? Well, here's the magic word, ask. Mm-hmm. Ask what they need, right? Ask what they, what, how they are in life. Be curious. I think that's one of my strengths, and I'm very grateful for it, is my curiosity. I'm a very curious person. And so be curious about them. Ask what's going on. And, mm-hmm. you know, if they don't feel like they want to open up, then maybe there's an opportunity there too, right? To give them the safe space, because it sounds like then they might be struggling with something. Mm-hmm. So once you know what they're struggling with and how you can add value, do it. And it doesn't have to be from you. I think this is one of the biggest paradigm shifts I have, right? It could be, number one, connecting your friend with someone that could help them. Or it could be, number two, giving them resources, an article, a video, a meditation, whatever that can help them, right? And you know, number three, even just creating the space for them to talk about it. Sometimes it's funny. I have friends coming to me and they say, I have a problem. And I said, well, let's talk about that. It ended up being 99% of him talking or her talking and 1% of me going, okay, what next? Or right. What do you think? And then by the end, they're like, I got my solution. Thank you so much. And I thought to myself, I didn't do anything. Like, you came up with it yourself, but you already have the answer in yourself. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is to treat others as you would like to be treated. And I think this is really just about being empathetic. And like, if you want quality friends, if you want people to treat you with kindness and compassion, we'll start treating others with kindness and compassion. Because, you know, okay, from a meta perspective, right, is that energy exchange, it's going to be activated, right? And, yes. And you're going to attract the people that would treat you the way you want to be treated. From a more, I would say, grounded perspective is, when you treat others the way you want to be treated, people see that. People are watching, all right? Not to say people are judging you, okay? I need to be very careful with this right now. What I'm just saying is people observe you, whether they like it or not, right? Totally. They look around, they see, whoa, Jordan is giving this box of 99% dark chocolate to his colleague out of the blue because he appreciates her. How amazing. I want to be kinder to him now, right? And 100%. So it has an effect on people. And I'm not saying, you know, be inauthentic. Please be authentic. If you are not like aligned with this particular person and you force yourself to be, I don't know, like superficially nice to, right. to the person,
then you're compromising.
I don't recommend that.
Right.
Exactly. And honestly, you won't feel good. He would feel, or she would feel, the energy is a bit off. Like, it doesn't serve anyone. But be authentic.
Yes.
And, you know, the third point is, I think I mentioned already, appreciate and celebrate your friends and family. And always make time for that, right? And the fourth one is really just to get personal. You know, again, I think I mentioned this earlier. You know, it's so easy to, you know, it's so funny because I think about it, right? To make a video for someone, for a friend of mine, let's say I want to give myself 15 minutes, right? 15 minutes to show a friend or a family member that I appreciate them. Mm. 15 minutes, that's like, I don't know, two songs or three songs, right? Mm-hmm. It's so little time, and yet so few people I know take the time to do this. And
ever.
This
it's not like even like all the hours that we put right. into our work day every single day. Yet doing right. this one thing that takes an extra 8 minutes out of our day, just once, a couple times a year, you know, anniversary, right. birthday, whatever. That's a really good right. point. Why is that such a hurdle? We're so willing to give up our time to our employer, to our kids, to all the bull crap of society. But when it comes
to Netflix.
Yes, exactly. But when it comes to our loved ones, it's like pulling teeth sometimes.
Yeah.
So you like to get out of that headspace? You like to try to just knock that crap off, sort of thing?
Oh, that's such a great question. So yeah, I usually am quite a spontaneous person with this. So I would just So maximum, I do like two ticks, right? The first tick is I just dump everything that's in my heart. And then the awesome. Second tick is like, right? And the second tick is, okay, how do I organize this so that it's not like confusing?
Yeah, totally. Just rambling. Okay. Oh, that's cool. Right, that's right, great. Right.
Yeah. I think two is a good number. I often do two. It keeps the authenticity, because when it gets to three, then it's like you're overthinking it. It's like, oh, wait, should I add this, add that? Maybe I should. You know, it becomes complicated, right? And so I do that. And yeah, I love cool, what you man. Said. We need to. I think it comes with the awareness of how nothing is permanent.
Yes.
And I mean it in the most compassionate way. Nothing is permanent, and nothing will stick with you forever by default. You know, my dad used to tell me that life is like an eagle, right? Eagles, they don't stay parallel to the horizon when they fly. They either go up or they go down. There mm-hmm. is no like parallel, right? Mm-hmm. There is no neutral. And so when I think about relationships, it's the same. It goes up or it goes down. It doesn't just stay neutral by default. And so if you don't put energy into nurturing your relationships, well, then by default, it's going to go down. And so how much do you value the people in your life? I think that's the question that you need to ask yourself.
I love it, man. It's beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, Zen. This was a pleasure. I really do appreciate you taking the time to do this. This was a lovely interview.
This is for me too. I had so much fun. Thanks, Jordan. And, you know, thank you for creating the time and the space. And I really hope that whoever is listening would, you know, be able to take something out of this.
Man, it was great. It was fantastic. You shared a lot of great stuff. I'm sure the Lifebook members loved it. Thank you all for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Powerful social month this month. Got even better stuff coming your way for the rest of the year. One more time, Zen. Thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you, Jordan, and whoever's listening. And I just hope you all have an amazing social year.
You too, buddy. Everybody listening, thank you so much. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.